Hello, hello.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am alive, and that's all that matters.
Fair enough.
Yeah. But yeah, so today is a true crime day, and I decided to go back to our roots, the murder roots, for this episode. So it's going to be real fun and fresh. But without further ado, let's get right into it. I'm Sonia.
I'm Maddie.
And welcome to Grimm. So I am thinking that maybe next week we should do something lighter because I've just realized how heavy murder is, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's from watching Supernatural, like rewatching it, because I blame you for this, that you got me back into this.
You're welcome.
But I was like, oh, I'm in the mood for murder. And then I started researching and I was like, maybe I'm not in the mood for murder. But that's okay. We're going to do murder anyway.
Yeah.
So I was looking at different places in Europe, as one does, and I found the story of the only serial killer from Malta. There are no other recorded serial killers in Malta. To be fair, Malta is quite small, so it's not like a huge shock. But today we're going to be talking about Salvatore Magnon. I don't think I'm saying that name right. I apologize in advance. But he goes by Silvio. And so he was born in 1964. And like I said, he was the only known serial killer from Malta. But he committed his crimes over a span of 14 years. So from 1984 to 1998. So like, it's fairly recent, I think.
Yeah.
Like 25 years ago. Which I'm doing that math now. When I typed it up, I was like, oh, 10 years ago? Crazy. It was not actually 10 years ago. And again, I will butcher the pronunciation of where he's from, and I apologize in advance to everyone who is more cultured than I am. But he's from a place that's spelled Z-E-J-T-U-N. And then just another thing about him is that I don't know where this came from or like what this means, but he was known by his alias of Kalang, and that's spelled K-A-L-A-N-G. I'm not sure where that comes, like it must be like a nickname or something.
Yeah.
Because I can't see where he's getting that from Silvio.
Yeah.
Maybe it means something, so I don't know. But there isn't that much that's known about his early life. But what is known is that in this time, he was unemployed and he was recently diagnosed as schizophrenic. And he did have like major depressive episodes. And so those were like they knew about this. Like he knew about this. I think he must have been taking medication for it. But on top of that, he was also addicted to alcohol and like prescription drugs. So not the best combination.
Yeah.
I don't think. And I feel like in every like Criminal Minds episode ever, if there's someone who has like a mental illness like schizophrenia, it's always a bad sign when they're on drugs. I think it just like enhances bad thoughts. But it was determined later on, like, this is a spoiler for the end of the case, he does get caught. It's not unsolved.
Well, I was assuming.
Yep. I'm on my last percentage of brain cell, Maddie. But it was determined by the, like, judge and the therapist, I think, that at the time of the murders, it was determined he was fully aware of his actions and he did them of his own volition. So he didn't get, like they didn't blame the mental illness for his actions. He was, like, fully charged with what he did. And then it was also determined that in all of his crimes, the motive was robbery. So, like, it wasn't a robbery gone wrong, I don't think, but it was, like, an intended robbery that led into murder.
Mm-hmm.
So, on February 8th, 1984, the body of 54-year-old Rosina Zammit was found on the doorsteps of her home in Safi. And I don't actually know how this managed to, like, happen, because, you know, when in, like, Criminal Minds and stuff like that, they talk about the amount of aggression needed for, like, stabbings.
Mm-hmm.
And usually, like, if it's, oh, like, a home invasion gone wrong, like, there'll be one or two stabs.
Mm-hmm.
She was found with 37 stab wounds to her neck, chest, and abdomen.
Wow.
So I really feel like that indicates, like, a level of rage that...
Mm-hmm.
This is from my knowledge of Criminal Minds. I'm really applying all of that to this. But every single time that they talked about, like, stab wounds, it's always, like, that many is... It's an indication that something was, like, very wrong, like, rage-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And again, in this first... this first murder in 1984, they did determine that the motive appeared to be robbery. There was a small sum of around 200 lira that was found to be stolen from her home. But, so this wasn't, like, a major robbery. Like, I don't think that they determined that anything else was majorly missing. It was just, like, a little bit of money. Which, again, like, I know that they said that the motive was, like, robbery. It kind of feels like that was a secondary thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's just, like, that small of an amount of money.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she was found at 9:45 the next day when her nephew's wife called. Apparently she had, like, work at this woman's home. She would do chores and, like, clean for this woman, and she didn't show up to work, which was very unusual. So they called the police. The police showed up at her house, and they found her. They did say that there was no sign of forced entry, and there was no, like, major disturbance to the house. So it wasn't, like, a bunch of people came in and, like, ransacked the place. Mm-hmm. It was more of, like we were saying, like, a murder with, like, a robbery on the side.
Okay.
And by no major disturbance, I mean, like, they did find a few wardrobes open and some bags on the floor, which is why I think they said that it must have been a robbery, but maybe he, like, didn't find what he was looking for. But still, like it's such a small sum that was missing that it feels like it wasn't meant to be.
Yeah.
But they weren't able to find anything at the time, and I think it's probably because, you know, it's 1984. Forensic evidence isn't really, like, well-defined as a field.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the only, like, things that they would have to go off of were, you know, like, eyewitness accounts and stuff like that, which there were none. And, like, obviously, like, you wouldn't have, like, a Ring doorbell or whatever in Malta in 1984, so.
Yeah.
They didn't... They were unable to solve the murder for over two decades, which,
wow.
Like, I'm glad it was solved in the end, but that is a really long time.
Yeah.
To go without, like, not knowing what happened to your family.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened was, this was much later on what they determined. Like I said, two decades. But he later confessed to stalking her on her way home the day of the murder and knocking on her front door. And when she opened the door, he attacked her and she began shouting. And that's why he said it was, like, an accidental murder, because he stabbed her and went to get the money. But when he realized that she hadn't died, he ended up just, like, fleeing the scene instead. So, yeah, that was it. That's why it was, like, no forced entry. I think she opened the door for him.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, it must have just been a different time, because I can't imagine opening the door to a stranger. Like, I don't know. That's actually such a lie. I open the door to, like, the mailman all the time. I don't know. I feel like I would have to know who's coming. Like, I always know when I get a package delivered.
That's fair.
Yeah. Anyway, this only 2 years later, in October of 1986, October 30th of 1986, 68-year-old McGrin lived, actually, this is really interesting, she lived a few doors down from the former president. Which you'd think that, like, if there was a former president living in the area, there'd be more security. But she also heard a knock on her door and opened it without asking who it was. She just opened the door. And this one, the MO was a little bit different. So apparently three men entered the house. It was Silvio Magnon and then these two men who were uncle and nephew, Lely and Oswaldo Spiretti. They, all three of them, entered the house and demanded that she give them all her money. And so she ended up basically, like, guiding them through the house with a torchlight. There was, like, no electricity, so she had to, like, actually, like, guide them through the house with her handheld light. And she handed them a sum of money, which in 2012 would have been around 15,000 euros. Like, the conversion with inflation or whatever would have been worth around 15,000 euros, so probably a little bit more by now.
That's a lot.
Which is kind of crazy that she's had that much money on her, but I guess they like staked her out and they were like, she lives by the former president, like she must have cash.
No, that's true.
But they didn't wear any disguises, so like they just kind of entered the house, like, faces open, I don't know, like, uncovered.
Yeah.
And because of that, they stabbed her 13 times. It was just him, Silvio Menon, stabbed her 13 times to prevent her identifying them.
Damn.
So, truly, if they all just wore masks, like...
Yeah.
I don't think she would have had to die.
So, like, yeah, literally, why didn't they?
I don't know. Men can tell you. But she unfortunately later died of her injuries. And then he took a break. I don't know what he was doing that those years. Maybe he was still doing things and he just didn't confess to them. But on October, in August, sorry, in August of 1998, on August 16th, 1998, he decided to rob his neighbors. And this was 71-year-old Giuseppe and 75-year-old Francesco Frank Saverio Cesar. And apparently he was drunk and high when he was in, like, planning this robbery. But he did the same thing. He rang the doorbell and surprised Giuseppe with a knife when she opened the door and stabbed her in the stomach and in the right arm. But she somehow managed to fight back. She called her brother for help, who was, like, they lived in the same house, so somehow, like, she managed to disarm him enough that she could call her brother. And when he saw her brother, he basically threw himself at her brother and stabbed him in the chest. And I think that, like, he wasn't able to complete the robbery in that case because I don't think he thought both of them would be home. So he said that he was frightened by the look of seeing him lying on the ground bleeding. And so Mignon, like, fled. And he threw the knife and his clothing in this reservoir at President Anton Butik Street. So I think he must have just assumed that both of them would have passed away and that he wouldn't, like, be traced back to the incident at all. But Giuseppe survived. She was taken to the hospital and she was fine. I mean, like, not fine, but she healed. Obviously, that's a very traumatic event.
Yeah.
I don't know how she, like, managed to identify him, but she did. And sometime after the incident, he was arrested and indicted. because there was an eyewitness who very clearly said, yep, that was the man who broke into my house and stabbed me. And I feel like that is pretty incriminating.
Yeah.
Just a little. So on November 26, 2002, during the hearing, the jurors determined that he was sane at the time of the murder. And on January 5th, 2004, at the beginning of his trial, he ended up pleading guilty. So then he was given a 21-year sentence for killing, and attempting to kill the Caesars. And at that point, that was kind of the end of like the sentencing, because this was the only murder that like they knew for sure he had committed. The other murders basically were still unsolved at this point until about a year after his conviction, when he actually implicated himself as the one responsible for the two other previous murders to several inmates at the prison that he was in. And one of the inmates was Steven Spiretti, who later reported those claims to the police. And then the police like questioned him about the validity, which I think is like standard procedure. Like, you're not just gonna take the word of someone else at the prison. But he did end up confessing when the police questioned him. And at that point, he also implicated the other two who were involved in the second murder, the other two Spreadies. But by then, Lely had died in 2000, and Oswaldo had committed suicide and hanged himself while in custody. So neither of them were charged with anything, but I mean, they weren't the ones who killed anyone, I think, either. So, like, at least he was getting charged for the murders. I think that's, like, the only good part.
Yeah.
But basically, I think, like, to, you know, like, corroborate the story, they asked him to walk the investigators through the crime scene and kind of explain the layout. And that was when they basically said, like, yeah, he definitely did, like, commit these murders. Then there was, like, another trial for the resentencing, and I guess some point during those trial proceedings, one of the inspectors, like, talked about these two tattoos that he had, one in each ear. He had one that said the letter S and one that had the letter K. And I think this just kind of shows you what kind of a man he is, but he just joked that it stood for serial killer.
Oh boy.
And, like, I don't know, I feel like hearing that, I would be like, this man is, like, she shouldn't be free, you know? Like, he shouldn't be allowed to walk the streets if you're joking about something like that.
Yeah.
But, the good thing is the jury thought the same, and on June 23rd, 2010, he was sentenced to life in prison for the murders of Rosina Zemet by Judge Joseph Galea de Bono, and was given another life sentence for Maria McGrin at a later date. I think it was, by the jury, 8 votes for conviction and 1 against, so I don't know who the 1 against was, but I'm glad that they were outvoted. And the judge kind of said the same thing. He said that he was, quote, a threat to society that could not be trusted, end quote. So he's still in prison, which is, you know, the only good part about this is that he was, like, caught and convicted for his crimes. But, yeah, that was probably the most satisfying ending that we could have had in this case. Like, I don't know. I feel like that's the best case scenario, and, like, at least the best case scenario happened.
Yeah.
Out of a really horrible situation. You know, like, none of those people deserved any of that. But, yeah, that was the story of the only serial killer Malto's ever had. Hopefully it stays that way and Malto does not have any more.
Yeah.
And, yeah, do you have any thoughts, last-minute thoughts, questions, comments, concerns?
I don't think so. Thank you for telling that.
You're so very welcome. I love true crime. but yeah. I once again leave it to you to change the subject from what we just talked about to something not what we just talked about.
Oh, okay. Well, it is March Madness for college basketball right now.
Oh, shit. I forgot that March Madness was a thing.
Yeah. Our men's team didn't make it, but our women's team did, and there's a game tonight.
As they should.
I get to go watch it, which is going to be fun. We won our first game, and so this is our second game. So.
Oh, yeah. Who's it against?
I could not tell you.
That's really fair. That's so valid. I also would not care.
Sports up to a certain point. I know we're in it. I don't know who else.
But it's like at your school.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's at our basketball place, court. I don't know.
I was gonna say field. No, it's not a field, actually. So I'm just gonna go pop over to my basketball field real quick.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, casually. I also don't know how sports work, so.
Yeah, fair enough. But I am really devastated because I had KU winning the men's basketball, and they are already out, so.
Oh. Is there any financial consequence for that, or is it just
for fun? I am not confident enough in my skills to put money behind my basketball knowledge skills to. So luckily, I'm not losing anything. Okay, I guess good, that is a silver lining.
Yeah. They may have lost, but there's no financial consequence for you.
Yeah, just me losing my bracket, unfortunately. But
do other people put money on it? Is that like
they
thing?
Do. I'm just doing one with like my roommates, so it's just like the four of us. We don't do any money, but yeah, other people do. Yeah, put money
That's
on
so
it.
That's so stressful.
Yeah, I could.
I would hate to be a player because then it'd be like people are like counting on me.
That's so true. I didn't think about that.
Like financially, like that's so scary. In this economy, no.
Yeah. But yeah, that is it for me. Just my little dabble into sports, I guess.
That is a very exciting update. I'm not gonna lie. Thank you. That was actually probably more exciting than anything that's ever happened to me.
Well, on that note, what is your life update for this week?
I have been. What have I been doing besides like rewatching Supernatural?
I was gonna say you have been rewatching Supernatural. That's a thing in itself.
I saw Ant-Man.
Oh, yesterday. You did?
Yeah, finally.
Oh my god.
So dragged exciting. Myself to the theater to do it.
Nice.
I will say, not my favorite movie.
Yeah.
I feel like when I watch an Ant-Man movie, I expect like more humor.
Mm-hmm.
And it just wasn't really giving.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I feel like it didn't establish anything new either.
Yeah. I don't really like their depiction of the quantum realm. I don't know if it's just me, but I feel like if we're talking about, like, the space between atoms, I don't understand why it's, like, an alien world. Like, it looked like it could have been from, like, Star Wars or something.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I think they should have just embraced, like, the weirder, you know? Like, don't make it look like a classic alien world. I feel like it should look like, you know, like, the mirror dimension, how it's, like, a kaleidoscope, basically.
Yeah, that's
I
true.
I feel like they could have done that, but for the quantum realm.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just not really vibing with the time travel and the multiverse phase that they're going with.
Yeah, I'm not loving the multiverse.
Yeah, I just feel like it's too confusing all the time.
And it's, like, too much of a, like, get-out-of-jail-free pass for, like, like plot holes.
Exactly. And I'm constantly reminded of the fact that, like, we're watching Marvel from this one universe, but then they basically just, like, established it that in every single other universe, like, all the Avengers are dead.
Yeah.
And that's, like, really sad to think about.
That is, yeah.
So,
that's true.
I don't know why they're doing this. I just feel like I love Marvel for, like, the almost realism of it, because, like, you could see yourself living in New York and, like, having some sort of, like, villain, and then, like, Iron Man swoops in and saves the day or whatever.
And smashes your car in the process.
Yeah, basically. The insurance. Yeah, no, that's for true, insurance though. For Marvel are my favorite things ever.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I get that.
But yeah. I don't know. Might just have to, like, rewatch the first three phases of Marvel and see what happens.
Reminisce.
Yeah. Be like the good old days.
Yeah.
Like, even, like, WandaVision, like Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
I did like those.
Good old days.
Yeah.
I was here for those. But those are my thoughts on the movie. Welcome to my film review. but yeah, that's all I have. Do you have anything else that you want to add?
I do not.
Nice. Do you want to spell us out?
Yeah. So you can find us on Instagram at Grim Podcast. You can follow us, like our photos, DM us, and from our profile, there's a button to email us. You can email us at thegrimpodcast@gmail.com. You can send us thoughts on stories we have covered, stories you want us to cover, or life updates of your own. We also have a Twitter, which is Podcast Grim, and a Facebook, which is Grim Podcast. And other than that, just leave us a good review and tell your friends and family about us.
Yeah, and we will see you guys next week. And I can't remember if next week is... I think next week is also March.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Join us for another week of March. Yeah, we'll see you guys then.
Bye. Oh, yeah. Bye.